Today's word comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. I will read it to you. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. This is word of the Lord. Let's bless each other. God loves you and I love you too. Yeah, thank you all for coming to the English service. I'd like to share God's word with the sermon title, The Sent. And I was meditating on many scriptures, and I was wondering which verse should I preach for the last time, for the last English worship service. And this is what I came up with. There's this guy I served from my previous church, and this guy is a smart guy. He graduated from Ivy League college. I think it was Dartmouth. And he got a PhD from Stanford University. And he's working as a scientist. But he was an unbeliever. He was almost an atheist. His wife started coming to church first. And then later, after a few months, his wife brought his husband to the church. At first, he didn't want to come, of course. He didn't want to come. But he came reluctantly on the invitation Sunday. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit worked on him on that first day. He attended our service, and he was blessed and decided to continue attending our church. His heart was on fire, and he almost never missed a Sunday since then. And every week after the worship, he always came to me and asked me many questions about my sermon and about Christianity. He wanted to know God more. And then later, he then accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he got baptized. Then I left the church, and I came here after a few years passed. The last year, he sent me a Christmas card with a gift, and there he wrote how his faith grew in the past few years. And he said he went to the mission trip, and he said he started tithing, and his relationship with his wife has fully recovered. Well, long story short, they almost filed a divorce. They came to my office the day before they went to the court. But I spent 1 month with the couple praying and counseling, and they decided not to get divorced. And they're living happily. But anyways, according to the card he sent, it seemed like there was a great growth in his spiritual life. But there was one statement that captured my heart. He said one of the greatest things that he has ever done in his whole life was accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he wrote, "Thank you for introducing Jesus Christ to me. Without you, I wouldn't be where I am today." Man, I don't know. Like, I know you're not that impressed, but I was really I was really impressed. And this put tears on my eyes, and I was so thankful how God used my life and used my lips to save him. And if you look at today's passage, it says that salvation comes through faith, and there is no discrimination for anyone in salvation by this faith. So anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here, calling on the name of the Lord means believing in the name of the Lord. But in order to believe in the name of the Lord, we must hear about the gospel. Then in order to hear about the gospel, there must be someone who delivers the gospel. Verse 14 and 15 says, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If no one delivers, no one can hear. That is how Jesus chose his disciples for this work. And he chose God's people who have been saved, like us, to carry out the work of sharing the gospel. And this is the word that reveals our identity. In other words, we are the one, we are the sent who have been sent to share the gospel. The fact that the Lord has called us is the will of the Lord. Somehow he did not choose and call us by chance, but he chose and called us intentionally with his will and purpose. Then what do we have to do? We have to share the gospel. Many years ago, I went to the mission trip in Amazon, Brazil. And it's really hot, and it was really hard ministry. And one day, we came back from the ministry, and we found a small like ice cream store. It was really good. It was really good, and they give the quality, the quantity, it was awesome. They give a lot. And it only cost 50 cents. Yeah, so it's cheap, but quality was awesome. It was really, really good. So we enjoyed ice cream on the first night. And then we did a ministry the next day, and we were tired, but, we were hot. So we went back to the ice cream store a second night, and we bought the ice cream again. And we had about 14 people in our mission team. But this guy, he knew how to run business. He was giving us two free extra ice cream. And he was like being really friendly to us. I guess he was really happy to, raise, the income and, the earning. And he was really happy to see us. But we were there on the second night, and I felt like I had to share the gospel to him. There was a holy pressure in me. And it feel like God is telling me to share the gospel with this guy. So I told him, you know what? We will come back tomorrow. Yeah, I promise that I will come back tomorrow. I love your ice cream. We're going to come back and eat this again. And on the third day, we came back from ministry, and we're so tired. And I was even tired. I was like, just knocked out, and I'm like, we don't want to go anywhere. Okay, this is it. We're just going to go to sleep, and we're just so tired. And I was lying in the bed. But I felt like God was saying, John, go. Go where? I was like, go to this guy and share the gospel. I'm like, God, but I'm tired. I've been sharing the gospel all day. And do I have to go again? I was like, yes, go. So I just got up and I asked the missionary, give me $5. I need to go. And the missionary felt something and he said, oh, I'll go with you. So some of our team members, we went there together. So then I was like, we bought the ice cream and we're chatting, and I told him, I did not want to come today because I was so tired, but because of the promise that I made with you, I came to you. But not only to eat your ice cream, I know your ice cream is good, that's why we came here too, but there's another reason why I came. And I shared the reason why I went back. I said, God gave me the heart to share the gift that I have in me. God wanted to share the good news that I have in me with you. So I started sharing the gospel to him. But there were a lot of resistance. He was like, that's not my thing. And, he didn't want to accept. And there were a lot of interruption. Whenever he feels like, he wants to open up his heart, another customer comes in. Another calls come, people calls the store, and there's a lot of like interruption and resistance there. But of course, finally, he accepts Jesus Christ. This is why I share the story. So he did accept Jesus Christ. But what was surprising is that there were four of his friends with him, sitting with him. And out of four friends, three friends accepted Jesus Christ with him. And this one guy, he passionately accepted Jesus, and he was so happy to receive this gift and hear the good news of the Jesus Christ. And we were like, we were walking back to our hotel, and he was walking with us. He was sharing how happy he was. He's like, you know what? Thank you so much for this gift. You know, I never heard this good news, and we're so thankful that you share this good news with us. And he was this tall guy, and he was just hopping like a kid. He was hopping like a kid because he was so happy. He was so happy. And he said that he will deliver this good news to his family. And he said he will deliver this good news to the whole town. And I still remember clearly in my eyes the joy he has experienced after receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we went there for a short period of time to share share the gospel and pray. But in fact, this was not our plan or idea. God called us, guided our steps, and allowed us to meet those who would share the gospel. You know, of course, sometimes when we share the gospel, not all listeners will receive it. We may be well-trained, well-prepared, but the listener does not, if the listener does not receive the gospel, we may fall into disappointment, or we may lose confidence due to our limitations and shortcomings. But this is not just now. It was the same in the early church. Even when Jesus preached the gospel, there were those who did not believe. Nevertheless, what we must remember is that Jesus and his disciples did not give up on preaching the gospel. And the mission of the gospel that they have kept without giving up is also being given to us. This is because if no one delivers, the opportunity for unbelievers to hear the gospel will be lost. But what we need to know is that sharing the gospel is not just about going to other countries for a mission trip, although that is one way to do it. Although that may be the one way to do it, but the start of mission is to share the gospel to unbelievers around you and start praying for them. This is because the core of mission is not about going somewhere, but it's in saving the people you meet, no matter where you are. Therefore, what is really important for us is that we live a missional life to strive for the salvation of unbelievers, whether we are at work, home, or wherever we are and whatever we do. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we must remember that we are invited to the feast of salvation to become a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and revealing this gospel to the world. And we are saved to do this work. Knowing this is a great blessing. Do you know when a person feels most empty? It's when your existence seems meaningless. It is when you feel like you are useless. This means that if we don't know why I was born in the world, and we don't know what to do, then no matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we live, we will always feel like I'm not enough, I'm not happy, and there will be no satisfaction. This is why we just live day by day without knowing the true purpose of our lives and simply seeking worldly pleasure to fill that emptiness. Then who are we? The Bible says, we are the vessel of God, and we are the chosen people of God. John 15:16 says like this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. It says, the Lord has chosen you. Lord has chosen not just me, but you. The Lord did not choose you by chance, by mistake. It means that God chose you and me because he wanted to use us as his vessel. Therefore, we must not simply be the churchgoer. We must not simply be a Sunday Christian. We must not be satisfied with going to church on Sunday. And we must not think that we have fulfilled our duty as a Christian for coming to church only on Sunday. But throughout your life, you must reveal Jesus Christ through you. And you must let the world see Jesus through you. So whatever we do, it must be related to evangelism. You know, my son, he's 11 now, but when he was in elementary school, there was a Halloween party at school, So he was enjoying, and then there was also a Hallelujah night that day. So my wife went to school and picked him up. And my son got in the car, and he started crying. And my wife was like, "Why are you crying? You know, Hallelujah night is a priority. You know, but I allowed you to go to a Halloween party at school, but we have to go to Hallelujah night, right? That's our priority." And my son was like, "Mom, that's not why I'm crying. That's not why I'm crying." And my wife was like, "Then why are you crying?" And he said, I feel bad for leaving my friends at school. They don't know Jesus. And they're just so into this worldly pleasure and the party. They don't know Jesus. But I know Jesus and I'm going to church. But they don't know Jesus and they're just hanging in there." And he felt so bad to see his, you know, his friends. And I was really impressed. I know you're not impressed again, but I was very, very impressed. So his whole life is about showing Jesus and sharing the gospel to his friend. And he really does share his gospel with his friend at school. You know, sharing the gospel is the common mission that we all have. It's not just for the preachers to share the gospel. All of you have this mission. We must not stop witnessing that Jesus is the only Savior and he is the only way to salvation. These days, it is very difficult to think about others. We all live a busy life, taking care only of ourselves. But we have an important calling. That is to share a gospel to those who do not believe in Jesus. Sometimes this can get you in trouble. You may get attacked, or you may be criticized for doing it. But if we do not fight in faith, if we do not make any effort for Jesus, not only we will live without feeling and knowing the power of the gospel, but we will not be able to truly be called disciple of Jesus. Therefore, do not live your life only for you. Don't think that it's enough for me to eat well, live well, and succeed. Remember, God did not invite us to the feast of salvation for you to live meaninglessly and purposelessly. There is a mission given to us. If you look at the picture on the slide, I'm sure if you go to Boston, we normally go to Harvard University, and you wipe John Harvard's feet, right? It's so shiny there because everybody touches it, right? So everybody wish that you or your children will get into Harvard, and you just wipe it. Harvard University was established by John Harvard. The pastor, he donated his money and books. But if you look at, is it one slide or is it on the same slide? I wanted to see it on the one same slide. But yeah, if you look at it, can you find a difference? This is the original slide, long time ago, original logo. And if you, that's the recent logo. Can anyone tell the difference? Harvard? Oh, Harvard. obviously, right. Yeah. Second is color, of course, I think Ken Jipson just pointed out the answer. The bottom book is closed. If you look at the original, first slide, if you look at two books, Veritas, it means truth. First two tops, top books, they're open. Only the bottom is closed. But if you look at the recent logo, all of the books are wide open. You know what this means? At first, out of the three books, two were open and one was closed. This showed humility. Humans cannot know all of God's will. Even though you study, even though you work hard, even though you live hard, you cannot know God fully. But on the second book, second logo, all books are wide open. You know what this shows? This shows that through study, we can come to know God fully. There is a human arrogance and pride. You know, the schools that are representing the United States, their values, their standards, it is changing. It is slowly changing without us noticing it. And also, and if you look at the original seal next to Veritas, it says, Et Christos Ecclesia, meaning truth for Christ and the church. It's not there, but it's there. But yeah, but yeah. And also, this Et Christos Ecclesia has disappeared from seals these days. And also, this is still engraved on the wall of the school library, but some people want to get rid of this too. But it's still, because this is engraved on the wall, they couldn't get rid of. So it's still there for now, but we don't know when that's going to get disappear. So it is slowly changing without us noticing. And now it has become an era of pointing fingers and ridiculing Christians and church who do not agree with these changes. And in these times, what are we doing as the one who have been called and sent to share the gospel? You know, one time I was having a meal. I'm sure you know there is this praise team in Korea named J-Us, if you know. Such a precious team. And one time I was having a meal with them and having a fellowship with them. I heard that they gave up their job and they decided to dedicate as a full-time missionaries. And I asked them, how can you make such a decision? And they said, doesn't someone have to dedicate for the church that is collapsing? And we are called to do this, and we are serving joyfully for this purpose. And of course, this calling is given by God. So not everyone can live the same life. But we must challenge ourselves this time. In the situation given to me, in the place God has called us to be, what are we doing for the gospel? The Lord's body, and the kingdom of God. What am I doing in this age when the gospel is being distorted and grace is not regarded as grace? In this age when the name of God is being humiliated and the church being ridiculed? I want us to challenge ourselves with these questions in mind. A life in which we must testify of Jesus. A life in which we must keep and teach the gift of the gospel given to us through grace. This is the true Christian life. And we must remember that it is the mission of all Christians invited to the Feast of Salvation. A generation that is ashamed to confess that Jesus is the only Savior, the Lord and King of my life. What kind of person would you like to be in these days? And what kind of Christians would you like to be? Everyone points to this generation and says there is no hope. However, if there are Christians who have hope in Jesus Christ, who live with the power of the cross, I believe that there is hope in this land. Do you know what causes our life blurry and confusing? It's because we don't know what is our identity. What is the purpose of life? And because we cannot properly realize and forget what our mission is. Therefore, open your eyes and think big. You are not called to barely survive in this world. You are called and sent for the glory of God, for the restoration of the church, for the salvation of souls. So I want you to believe that you are the people of God who have received the grace of the blood of Jesus Christ for this purpose. So as we wrap up the year 2022, and as we close this English service, I want all of you to respond to this calling. No more English service, no more serving in this service, doesn't mean that we are done with our job. It doesn't mean that there is no more place to worship and serve. But our true worship, your true service, begins as we walk out from this room. As we look back 2 years and 9 months of this English service, I'm sure you all agree with me that God has given us so much blessing. Although there were disappointment and discouragement time to time, God has faithfully guided us and blessed us on the way. And I'm sure our faith has grown and we have given our best for his glory. And although I will miss this worship and miss you guys listening to my sermon, God is calling us to the place of worship in life. Therefore, let's respond to God's holy call. Let's respond to his calling in restoring the glory of Jesus Christ. And with a sense of calling in each person's life, let's not just talk about the gospel in words, but let's live out the gospel in our lives. And whichever service you go to, whichever community you belong to, live a life that is not ashamed of before God and the world. And be the faithful people of God. And be the hope for the kingdom of God. Although we are lacking in ability and in power, we believe that when we obey the call by relying on the power of Jesus Christ, who is the hope, he will continue to write the story of salvation and expand the kingdom of God through us. I hope that all of us here will realize this calling and be the light and salt in this world, in the place where God is leading you. And may your life be more fruitful. And the grace of Emmanuel and blessing of God be with you all abundantly. Amen. Let's pray.